I invite you to turn to the book of Genesis tonight, chapter 32. It's important to present our body to Christ, as we noted this morning from Romans 12, where the apostle enjoins us, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." The NIV puts it, "your spiritual worship." "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, it is important for us to yield our bodies, to present our bodies to the Lord. But it's also good to remember that God is going to deal with us on the level that we fail to present our bodies to Him as the children of God. The Word of God says, to the pure, God is pure. To the believing, God is faithful. But to the perverse and the stubborn, God shows Himself stubborn. So we learn from Psalm 18. The Scripture says, concerning God and His activity, He gave them their request, but He sent leanness to their souls. No matter what we try, we cannot beat God. God's going to deal with us according as He finds us. What our need is, He is going to deal with us. This man Jacob that we're going to read about in a moment is a very illustrious character. His name appears in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. It appears in the Psalms and the Prophets, and again in the New Testament. It appears that God has punctuated the Word of God with this man Jacob to teach us some lessons of this great character. And it's important that we examine Jacob and his activity tonight. For the will of God is proved to be good, acceptable, and perfect. So we begin our reading tonight at verse 24 of Genesis 32. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. And for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Chapter 33, verse 16. Oh, really, verse 13. We want in the next chapter. And he said unto him, "My Lord knoweth." This is Jacob now speaking with Esau, his brother. And he said unto him, "My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me, and if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Yet, my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come to my Lord unto Seir." And Esau said, "Let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me." And he said, "What needeth it? Let me find grace in the eyes of my Lord." So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him a house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth. Let's Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we would, through the eyes of the Word of God tonight, prove that verse that says, your will is good and acceptable and perfect. We thank you for the revelation of your ways as you have dealt with men. We thank you for your dealing with Jacob. You call yourself the God of Jacob, yea, you call yourself the mighty God of Jacob. For you are the God of the changed name, because you are the God of the changed life. And we ask you, blessed Lord, to speak to our hearts. Give us something from yourself tonight. And may we yield our lives to thee unashamedly. And may we prove thy will, that it is good, acceptable and perfect, not giving us what we want, but giving us what we need, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Jacob had come a long way from Bethel, where he dreamed and where he vowed. The problem is, Jacob had lost the vision, and he had neglected the vows that he made at Bethel. But in our portion before us, God cripples Jacob. He cripples him that he might crown him. He bruises Jacob in order that he might bless him. And we want to notice three things from chapter 32 tonight. And then we want to move into chapter 33. The three things that we want to look at tonight, first of all, is in verse 24, the place to which God brought Jacob. In verse 24, we read the words, and Jacob was left alone. This is so important in God's dealings with us. It's a place of divine isolation. Jacob was left alone. God couldn't do very much with Jacob in Uncle Laban's compound. For there he was busy scheming. God couldn't do much with Jacob while he schemed. But God brought Jacob to the place where Jacob is alone. And God brings every one of us to that place of human isolation where he can speak with us as an individual. And as individuals, we cast ourselves upon him. One of the biggest problems that Christians face today, we are so busy. We are so busy with religious activity. We are so busy with material things. We are so busy with our business. We are busy, busy, busy. But when I read the scriptures, I find that the prodigal son did not return home to the father until he was alone with himself. And alone with himself, he got to the place of realization that in his father's house, there is bread enough and to spare. God must bring us to an end of ourselves in order that we can be alone with him. God brought Jacob to the place of human isolation. But more than that, in verse 24, we read, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. God not only brought Jacob to the place of human isolation, he brought Jacob to the place of divine confrontation. God is dealing with him. There wrestled a man with him until the break of the day. The man wrestled with Jacob. You see, a lot of people have the idea, and I've heard it in sermons, that this is a real picture of prevailing prayer. Well, in prevailing prayer, you wrestle with God. God doesn't wrestle with you. The man wrestled with Jacob. And why did he wrestle with Jacob? You see, God wants to bring us face to face with his purposes. And he only wants to bless us. When Dr. Culbertson was president of Moody Bible Institute, a came to him one morning and he said, I wrestled with God all night in prayer and I got the victory this morning. When the student was away, Dr. Culbertson said to the other man who was with him, he said, it's a pity that he didn't yield to the Lord last night. He could have got a good night's sleep. Divine confrontation. Our problem is we are so carnally minded to the law of God and insubordinate to the will of God, and we're fleeing from the blessing of God, and we become like Jacob, fugitive men and women, and God is trying to stop us in our pathway in order that we behold His purposes in grace. He wrestled all night. I tell you, that Jacob was a tenacious fellow. He wrestled, and I believe that this is a theophany. By that word, theophany, we simply mean a pre-incarnate appearance of our Lord on earth, wherein He assumes a body in order that He may do a definite work, like He did with Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. Abraham stood before the Lord, and He interceded for Sodom. It was three men who approached Abraham. Two were angels. And I believe the third was none other than a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus, known in Scripture as the angel of the Lord. Why did it take all night? See, it took a long time to bring that man Jacob, a schemer, the rogue, the supplanter, the crook, to an end of himself. Don't be too hard on Jacob, for his name Jacob simply means deceiver. That's what it means. And Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, speaking of you and me, the heart is Jacob. The heart is deceitful above all things else and desperately wicked. Has God ever brought you to the place of human isolation and the place of divine confrontation? You see, God may be dealing with you tonight in order that He may bring you to the place where He can bless you. There are those who will not come. There are those who will not be blessed by God, for they're stubborn. And to the froward we read, God will show Himself froward. And that word froward means just stubborn. There are those who will not come. But the Word of God says they will. Our Lord Jesus said in John 12:32, yea, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And they either come in grace or they come in government. And when they come in government, it will be at the great white throne and it will be too late, but they will come alone. And they will be confronted with their sins. God is confronting Jacob. The place to which God brought Jacob, He brought him to the place of human isolation and to the place of divine confrontation. This is something that I long to see through the preaching of the gospel. People brought to human isolation, when God singles them out, it may be a big meeting, but God singles them out, and they are confronted with the truths of the Word of God. So we not only have the place to which God brought Jacob, but we have the purpose for which God bruised Jacob. God has a purpose. And first of all, it is a crushing of his resistance. The crushing of his resistance. Everything out of accord with the will of God must go. Philippians chapter 3 verse 3 is one of the greatest illustrations of a Christian I know, where the apostle says, we are the circumcision. And because of what we are, there's something that we do. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. In other words, since yielding our bodies is our spiritual worship, as the NIV says, then we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. And the purpose of the cross is twofold. First of all, its work is to atone for sin. But second, it is to slay the enmity, that old Adamic nature. That is the purpose of the cross. Now, isn't it amazing as they wrestled? At the break of day, the angel of the Lord touched the thigh of Jacob, the hollow of his thigh. And as he touched this place in the middle of the back, the hollow of Jacob's thigh, Jacob's power for resistance was gone. He couldn't wrestle anymore. For the ability to wrestle is in the man's strength that he gets from the center lower part of his back. And Jacob's thigh is out of joint. You see, that's the place of a man's strength. And God is not impressed, we read in the Psalms, with the strength of a horse or the legs of a man. Neither one of them impresses God. And God put Jacob out of action. Let me ask you a question. What is your strong point in the flesh? See, Jacob's strong point was his name. For it told what kind of a character he was. He was a deceiver, a rogue, a cheat, a crook. What's your strong point? Is it a brilliant mind? Power to manipulate? Power to influence? Material wealth? A great home? You can go down the list of things that may be your strong point in the flesh. But I'll tell you this. Jacob carried the marks of this wrestling match to his dying day. Why did God bruise Jacob? He bruised him to crush his resistance. But he did it for a second reason. He did it to enable and to make Jacob claim repentance. Jacob needed to repent. In Hosea chapter 12, verse 4, as the prophet Hosea remarks about this wrestling match, he speaks of Jacob as he wept and as he supplicated the Lord. This was not a Sunday school picnic. This was a genuine wrestling match. If there's anything that is needed today, it is a spirit of true repentance. The spirit of true repentance. This is what the church needs today more than anything else. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 says the time has come when judgment must begin at the house of God. And when you read the seven letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor in Revelation 2 and 3 to 5 of the seven, the Spirit of God says, repent, 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 repent. Repentance is so important. To the church at Ephesus, he said, repent, or I will remove your candlestick. I will remove your privilege of witness on the earth. To another church, he says, repent, or I will fight against you with a sword in my mouth. To another church, he said, repent, or I'll cast you into the great tribulation. To another church, he says, repent, or I'm coming as a thief in the night. And you won't know when I come. Repent. Oh, how repentance is needed. Repentance is needed for all that is out of the will of God and not in accord with the purposes of God. and the soul crying to God, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. I repent before you. Why did God bruise Jacob? To crush his resistance. He bruised Jacob to cause Jacob to repent. But he bruised Jacob to claim reliance. He wanted Jacob to claim a reliance upon him. And Jacob said to the angel when he said, let me go. For the day breaketh, he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. He said to the angel, there's something I want more than anything else. And that's the blessing that comes from you. I will not let you go. You see, he has no strength of his own. And now you see him clinging unto the Lord. You see, the Lord must be the object of our trust. He must be the object of our total trust. For there's a little verse in the 14th chapter of Romans. It says simply, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's a big statement, isn't it? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We have the place to which God brought Jacob. We have the purpose for which God bruised Jacob. But third, we have the power with which God blessed Jacob. Jacob said, I won't let you go until you bless me. And he blessed him there. But first of all, there must be a confession. And we have here the power of a new life. The power of a new life. It's now going to be a life of authority. He says to Jacob, what is your name? Boy, to confess that your name is deceitful. I'm just Jacob. You know, that's the greatest blessing that we can ever come to if we admit to God what we really are. It's the hardest thing in the world to do. To admit to God what we really are. I'm Jacob. I'm a cheat. I'm a supplanter. I cheated my brother out of his birthright and then I stole the blessing from him. I'm a cheat. I'm a rogue. I live by the adage, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. I'm Jacob. Oh my. Oh, to be saved, the hymn writer said, oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in thee. Oh, that it may be no more I, but Christ who lives in me. The power of a new life. I will not let you go until you bless me. And he simply said, just tell me what your name is. Acknowledge what you are. And when he acknowledged what he was, the scripture says he blessed him there. He said, your name is going to be no more Jacob. You won't have to say that again, Jacob. You're going to be Israel now. You're going to be a prince with God. See, God calls himself the God of Jacob. He calls himself the mighty God of Jacob. Why? He's a God of the changed name because he is a God of the changed life. Your name is going to be Israel. You're going to have power with God and with man. You know, our Lord, before he ascended back to the glory, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. This coming Wednesday night is our missionary prayer meeting. We're going to read the missionary letters. A year ago now, there were three men in Panama who were captured by the rebels and are held for hostage. Contact has been made to them. I get a report once a month from New Tribes Mission on these hostages. Their fathers, their husbands, the wives and children don't know how they're being treated. They're held hostage. The man, these rebels want $5 million. And the purpose of the mission is not to give it. Don't yield to blackmail. This week I got a letter. It said the one thing they need, pray. God says to Jacob, your name is no longer Jacob, it's Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with man and with God. What does the church need today? The church needs today men and women who have the authority of heaven to speak to men on earth. And that's what God has given his people in the Great Commission. We need men and women today who have power on earth. And it's the power of heaven. And this, friends, is only received through union with a risen Christ. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice. It is only then that you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's not only the power of a new life with which Jacob is blessed, it's the power of a new love. Jacob now names the place Peniel. He said, why? I've seen God face to face, and he spared my life. Oh, to see God face to face, to meet him in the pages of his word, and to let him deal with the inner nature of our being, the power of a new love. You know, the hymn writer said, I've seen the face of Jesus, tell me naught of else beside. I have seen the face of Jesus, and my soul is satisfied. Jacob, take a look at the wasted years. All the scheming you've done, you wouldn't have had to do any of it. My will is good, acceptable, it's perfect. You see, friends, what we have here is the explosive power of a new love. And to the praise of the glory of Jacob, or the glory of God, really, Jacob never lost the secret of this blessing. Oh, he's going to have his ups and downs, and we'll get to that in a moment. He's going to go back to his old ways very shortly. You know, it's like us today. Like I said this morning, this business of presenting our bodies, it's an initial thing, and yet it's a day-by-day thing. We don't do it piecemeal. And it's a very real thing. Jacob had his ups and downs, but he never lost the power of this day. Why? God had brought him. God had bruised him. And God had blessed him. As the scripture says, the sun rose upon him as he went over Penuel. As he went over the brook, but he was limping. Not the same man. He'll never be the same. He's limping upon his thigh. So I'm going to use chapter 33 to apply this truth. Application number one tonight. It is possible to have such an experience and then go back to our old ways. That's the first application. Jacob never lost a blessing, but he did go back to his old ways. When Jacob crossed Peniel, he went back to scheming. He's going forth, you know, to meet Esau, the man from whom he stole the birthright and the blessing. And things have to be made right. There's no need. You see, God isn't going to say, now you're blessed, Jacob, now you're all right. No. Things have to be put right. Things have to be put right. You see, we can't outfox the Lord. It's just impossible. Oh, we can fool people. We can scheme and have our own way. But eventually, God's going to deal with us. And Jacob has to meet Esau. And what does he do? He begins to scheme. You see? And Jacob halts upon his thigh. And I want to tell you, halting upon his thigh would have been the greatest opportunity to witness that he ever had. But he missed it. Why does God deal with us? He deals with us that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What happens? You see, Jacob now begins immediately to walk by sight and not by faith. Oh, how easy it is to do that. To walk by sight and not by faith. And you see, when he does that, he divides his family. And when you look at the way in which Jacob divided his family, you knew where you stood with Jacob. I tell you, he was a schemer of the first order. You knew where you stood in the on the totem pole, I tell you that, when you were with Jacob. But what is Jacob doing? He's substituting sight for faith, and he's substituting bowing for limping. Oh, when he comes to Jacob, God said before he was born, the elder shall serve the younger. Can you imagine a man who had been in the presence of God and could name the place Peniel? I've seen God face to face in my life. He's preserved to continually bow before Jacob as he does in this next, or to Esau as he does in this chapter. And in doing so, he says, thy servant Jacob, thy servant Jacob, thy servant Jacob. That doesn't sound like a man who has power in heaven for men on earth. He substituted bowing for limping. He could have said to Jacob or to Esau, you notice my limp? You know where I got it? Oh, Esau, I met God last night. I met God in a way that I'd never met him before. I wrestled all night with God. And he put the hollow of my thigh out of joint. And I'm going to live the rest of my life, but I don't care. I met God. I've seen him face to face. What a difference. What an opportunity to witness. But you see, that often happens to us, doesn't it? How true it is of myself. Jacob, or Esau, didn't want the gift that Jacob had prepared. I think it was 416 animals, according to my count. No, I tell you, that's a drove. And knowing Jacob, he must have had a lot more left. Esau didn't want it. But Jacob insisted, and Esau took it. Then Esau invites him to Mount Seir. Come over where I live. Come on over. Jacob said, yes, I'm going to come. And he said, well, I'll get a few people here to help you to come over to show you the way. No, I'll make it. I'm just going to go slowly. But he lied. When you substitute lying for limping, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. He lied to him. And you know, the saddest thing in that chapter, those two boys never got reconciled. They never got reconciled. You see, Jacob was not practicing the blessings that God was giving him. It's going to take some more dealing. God's going to deal far more with Jacob in the coming weeks, in the coming years. When we say that you cannot outfox God, it was just this week that I was reading through the book of Genesis. I finished reading through the Newberry translation, and I started the NIV again. And I was reading of how Rachel, Jacob's wife, stole the household gods of her father. And then she lied. Jacob said, the one who has a household god is surely going to die. Now, Rachel didn't die that very day, but she died very shortly after. You cannot play games with God. See, Jacob is not practicing his position as a prince. I bring us to application number two. And that is simply this. The hardest thing that I have to face in the Christian life is to translate learning into living. That's the hardest thing I have to do. And you know that's going to be the hardest thing you have to do. See, I can take my Bible and I can read Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3 and I can be in the heavenlies. And then I can go outside and I can be in the earthlies that quick. You see, there's a little something here. How can I translate learning into living? Very simply. By limping. That's all it took for Jacob. He could have translated learning into living. File empty. And I have one more thing. Can we as believers in the Lord limp our way to victory in 1994? Oh, we don't want to limp our way, do we? No, we'd rather go a different route. But it isn't going to come a different route. We'll have to limp our way to victory by simply presenting our bodies and proving. See, the day's going to come in Jacob's life where he stands before the king of Egypt. My Bible says the less is blessed of the better. The king, you'd think, is the better of the two. But Jacob blesses the king. He learns his lesson. You see, he proves that the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. Oh, there's a lot of discipline that God's going to mete out on Jacob. But in the end, you see, the blessing of Peniel will never be forgotten. Oh, that God would enable us to so live in 1994 that we may prove that His will is good, acceptable, and perfect for His name's sake. Let's pray together. Father, We thank you for this illustrious character, Jacob. We thank you for the lessons that we learn, for we see ourselves in this man's life. If it need be, O God, bring us to the place of human isolation and divine confrontation, and reveal your purpose for which you cripple us in order that you might crown us. But, O Father, may we have the power of a new life and the power of a new love because of our association with thee and proving thy will to be good and acceptable and perfect, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen.